Am I on this one?
Yep.
I think we're all set.
I'm allowed to swear on this and stuff, right?
Oh, gosh, yeah.
This was all...
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Oh, you're gosh darn right you are.
Since when do you say, oh, gosh, oh, goodness, oh...
Hey, I'm a homeschool teacher now. I got to watch my mouth.
Oh, that's awesome. God. Is that right?
I don't want to teach. Do you keep turning off my mic, Jason?
You slid that
way.
Coming in hot.
Let's do this!
Hi there, welcome back to the, to the Off the Air Podcast. I'm Chick, that is Jess. Say hello and don't be a smart ass. Too late.
Yeah.
Thanks for downloading us. We appreciate it. I'm having trouble speaking. Maybe it's because I've got stress face. This is Bob Schneider. It's called Mudhouse.
It's a good song.
Darn right it is, isn't it?
Got nobody, baby. Yeah. I can call.
And our guest today, ladies and gentlemen, on the Off the Air Podcast, all pro, ladies and gentlemen, the best punter in the National Football League. There's no way you were voted. It's official. It's Pat McAfee.
Hey.
From the Indianapolis Colts. Hi, Pat.
Guys, it's really nice to be back on this show because this show was the launching point to my... my 100,000th follower on the Twitter.
Was it?
Yeah, you guys don't even know that.
I didn't know that.
I didn't know. Now I feel...
I don't know if it's true, but I'm gonna stick with it.
See, I thought you'd have been like a million followers.
Yeah, I'm not.
No?
You're not a quarter...
No, I'm not true.
You're like a quarter of a million though, right?
I'm at 280,000.
Oh, yeah.
280,000.
Yeah. Almost a third of a million.
Yeah. I mean, I'm no mathematist, but I'm just about there.
You know what? I like the word mathematist.
Yeah.
I'm using it.
Scientician, too. You can bring that one in. And then if somebody's like, oh, that's not right, you go, oh, you're a real Englishian, aren't you? That's the way you just shut them up.
It's good to be sitting here talking with you, too, because you really both seem like you want me to be here. So I appreciate it.
Well, Jess, I told this is from before this podcast started.
Right.
Jess said that you had stress face on. And I said, oh, that's a good call, Jess, because usually when I come in here, Chick has that same exact face, and he's never active.
Active, yeah. So Pat said active, and I said yes. And
it's
short for actively participating in this group.
Right.
Yeah.
So you're not. You kind of just withdraw.
Sometimes I'm inactive.
You're inactive.
Well, when I come in the show, I'm usually here like 8:30 or 9. And
he's clocked out by
and
now.
You're just done. Yeah, yeah. You're already over. So like I come in and I like say something and it'll be like sports related and I go, oh, we should look at the sports desk to see what he thinks. And then you're just like not even looking at me, no response.
Has not heard anything you said.
And I got to the point where I'm just like, fuck him.
And then
yesterday he was like, hey, will you come on my podcast? And I was like, so maybe he doesn't hate me. I don't know what the deal is here. So I'm so excited to be here. I'm real excited about it.
We're glad you're here. And
the 5 years we were together, I had to run interference for his life. Like, no, he doesn't hate you. He's just kind of a dick sometimes. Like, don't take it personally.
It's every time I come in.
Okay. I'm trying. I've been actively trying.
I mean, it's not sometimes.
I've been actively trying not to be a dick, but it sounds like I'm losing the battle.
I think it's just by the time I get in.
Yeah, it's just bad time.
There is somebody who on Twitter who finally noticed a couple weeks ago. They said, this is the first time I've listened to the show at 6 Eastern in the morning.
Yeah.
And then listened all the way through to like 9 or 9:30.
And you hear it.
Hear the gradual.
You remember how you learn about a storyline and the introduction and then the plot and then it
climax.
What time is
his climax? I want to see his climax. I want to watch his climax.
I'm going to say, you know what? You start early. Your climax is like right out of the
gate. I got to be right out
like
of the gate.
Six to seven.
Yeah, or 6 to 7, I'm pretty good almost every day. But
that's because that's when the sports is, right?
Itty bitty things start happening that chip
away. Good thing
away
you don't get
mind.
Paid by the hour.
Yeah, that is a great
thing.
Yeah, that is a good point. You don't get paid by the hour either, do you?
No. I get paid by the punt.
Oh, if you got paid by the hour, well, you're at the facility all the time, right?
All day, yeah. That's why, like, I travel, I moved, my house used to be right next to the facility.
Right.
And now I live like a 30-minute drive away, and I leave at like 6:15 a.m. So I listen to your work, and I think that's only increased my reasoning for thinking that you hate me, because you talk so much.
Uh-huh.
At that point, he laughs, and he enjoys it, and then every time I come in, it's just like, Mm-hmm. The guy's just like, oh, McAfee's here. I'm not talking shit. I'm not saying a damn
word. That's not true, Pat. I enjoy your work. I love watching you kick, especially in those white pants.
You also have to take into consideration who else is in here with you when you come in here. Because he's probably sick of the comedian who's been there all morning.
Let's not make it sound like I'm a horrible person.
No, you're not a horrible person. You're a horrible person for saying, I'm a horrible person.
Really?
Yeah. Like, let it go. Like, fix it or just own up to it.
What I'm saying is put your swords down.
Yeah.
Put your swords away.
I like it.
Stop fighting and let it continue. Pat is a return visitor to the Off the Air
second time
podcast. Mm-hmm.
Two timer.
Two timer.
You get the two timer patch.
Like the
Super Bowl week.
It is Super Bowl week, and the Patriots, who you guys played. And
we lost to
the Seahawks. Yeah, you lost to the Patriots.
I wish I wasn't able to be on this show right now. I wish I was.
Yeah, I wish too.
You were in Arizona. Yeah.
But you know, only two teams.
But we do have someone to cheer against, obviously, and that's the Patriots. I think America is cheering against the Patriots for all the controversy, I guess. You can at least say controversy.
I'm not cheering against anybody. I'm cheering for Marshawn Lynch.
Oh, okay.
Okay, I like that.
That makes sense.
Do players
love him?
Yeah, right.
He's everything that we all wish we could be.
Yeah.
Is he who said...
I'm just here so I won't get fined.
Yeah, that's who that is. Love yeah, him. That's awesome.
Love him. Mm-hmm. Wore his own company's hat to the press conference. Beast mode.
The beast mode. He's going to get fined for that.
No doubt.
Yeah. Is he really?
Yeah. Like $20,000 or something.
Why? Because if he's wearing a hat, it has to be...
It's all very...
It's not NFL licensed, which is very interesting to me because the NFL cares about its players so much, but if its player starts a business, they can't promote their own business.
Right.
Which is really a
hypocritical...
Hypocrisy, because if they really cared about us, they'd care about our businesses.
Mm-hmm.
But I understand it's all about money. I mean, it's about sucking out every last dollar. That's why the Pro Bowl was run the way it was run. I mean, it's just...
How was the Pro Bowl? No?
It was an awesome honor. It was so cool to get to meet all those guys. Yeah. Like, my locker was two down from J.J. Watt, so he didn't know it, but he was getting interviewed by me the whole week. I think by about the fourth day, he understood it. And he's like, God, just get me the hell out of here.
I remember I started playing football in seventh grade, and I almost made the All-Star team. Almost.
How'd you feel about it?
I didn't make the All-Star team. I was crushed. So I can't imagine what an honor it must be when you're a professional in the National Football League and you make the All-Star team, basically. I mean, not basically. You make the All-Star team.
I've always hated awards.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
So I was a runner-up for every award in the history of awards.
And that's why you hated awards?
Hate them. So it happened, the first time it happened was my sophomore year of high school, Valley News Dispatch. I'll never forget this, and I hate this. I still don't give them an interview to this day.
So who is it? Valley News Dispatch.
In Western Pennsylvania. My sophomore year in soccer, I led the state of Pennsylvania in goals and assists.
Wow.
Okay, that's the biggest soccer division. I led Pennsylvania in goals and assists.
And Pennsylvania is one of the bigger states.
Yes, huge state. The whole state, not just Western Pennsylvania.
Right.
And they named the player of the year one of my teammates.
Oh.
How did that happen?
That's what I said. And one of those teammates was my friend, so I had to act so happy.
Right.
You know, so
you're
like,
pissed.
They had me come up for his photo
shoot. You're human. You're blood and tears. You're a human being.
I know, but I didn't want to be... Jealousy is a horrible trait, so I didn't want to appear to be jealous. So I had to show up at his photo shoot because they wanted to take a picture of me for the All Valley News Dispatch team. I made the All-Star team.
Well, that was nice.
If you will. So I had to watch him take all these pictures and get interviewed. And it was at that moment where I said, I hate awards. I'm just not going to ever feel this feeling again. So fast forward to my senior year of college.
Right.
College Football Award Show, ESPN. I get invited to the Ray Guy Award for the Ray Guy Award, right?
One of the all-time punters in the National Football League. Right. Ray Guy.
Yeah, he's something. So...
The award's named after him.
So
okay, that's it.
He was a Raider. That's all I know about
him.
So they picked the wrong three finalists. There was three other guys who should have been there. I should have been probably in the top three, but the other two guys should not have been finalists that I was with. And out of the three of us, my numbers were just by far better than them. There were two guys that were better than all three of us.
These are just facts.
And they weren't
this
even
is what
nominated.
Happened.
These are just facts. Like in punting, it's easy. You just look at the numbers. Bang, bang, bang. That guy's good. That guy's good. It's just very easy to tell, you know?
Right.
So my net was above everybody. My inside 20 was above everybody. My average was above everybody. I had more 50-yard-plus punts than the guy who was nominated who had punts in a season. So I had like 23 punts over 50 yards or something like that. That's just not, but he had like less than 20 punts in the whole season. So that guy wins the Ray Guy Award, right?
Right.
Ray Guy was the one that picked the award. And it all came back to the Valley News Dispatch in my head while I was sitting there in Orlando, Florida. And I said, I hate Ray Guy. And, and I hate awards. And ever since then, I hate the Valley News Dispatch still. I hate Ray Guy. And I hate awards.
Hate awards. Got it.
But it was pretty cool to get named to the Pro Bowl.
Yeah.
And the All-Pro. So was, I've kind of felt like a hypocrite as well. You know, because now I'm on the winning side of things.
And the awards aren't so bad? No, don't say that. No, you still see awards. Well, it's nice to be recognized.
Yeah, I think it's such a team thing. Mm-hmm. You know, like there's like in team sports, individual awards are very suspect.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Because if it wasn't for my incredible special teams unit, I would have had a crappier. You know what I mean?
If you're such an all-pro, why don't you go out there and punt it by yourself? See, you can't do
exactly.
It.
If it's 1 versus 11, I'm done for. I'm done for out there, you know? But it was really cool to meet all those guys. J.J. Watt is probably my new favorite human.
I think I saw him kick a field goal. Was that online?
Yeah, 27-yard field goal.
Yeah.
Is there nothing he can't do?
I don't think so.
I think that was the title of the video.
He, set a record for touchdowns scored a certain way. Like, fumble recovery, he caught one, he ran one.
Mm-hmm. Tight end.
Yeah.
And he's like a super cool dude.
He's good to look at.
He's attractive.
Mm-hmm.
He looks like, he reminds me of Dolph Lundgren from
he's
Rocky
prettier
a little
than
bit.
That.
Yeah, he's handsomer than Dolph Lundgren. Mm-hmm, you know, the square, the chiseled.
Yeah, that's, yuck. It sounds terrible.
So were there parties for the official parties that you had to show up
for?
Yeah,
but they weren't big enough. Like the space wasn't big enough. So there was a line like out the door. And then the resort we were at. Which is so cool that we get to stay in a resort. But really, the guys that are in the Pro Bowl make all the money for the owners. So they should have maybe put up a little bit more cash to get us our own resort. We were sharing a resort with three different conferences that were going on.
What?
Yeah. So like if you're J.J. Watt or Andrew Luck or these famous guys, like you're.
What?
Yeah. And they like had posters or signs all over the place. They're like, no autographs, no pictures. But
right.
At about 10 p.m. when all these other people just got tanked drunk.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, those rules all.
What were the other two conferences?
I have no idea. They changed.
Like the Podiatrist Association or something crazy?
I don't think there was any podiatrists there. Who knows? I mean, I think people were just there.
But business related.
Yeah, but there were just people there as regular fans, I think, that said they were with the conference who were just in there.
Gotcha.
Like at 11 p.m. one night, I walked back to my room after having a couple of strawberry margs. Mm-hmm. And there were these two guys wearing backwards Luke Kuechly jerseys. Screaming, where's Luke? We need Luke's autograph. And I was like, this is the Pro Bowl. This is the thing that we've
dreamed about
our whole life.
Right.
And this is me talking. It's not Pat
McAfee. I can't imagine they didn't get you your own resort. That sounds crazy.
It's cut corners, man.
It sounds to me like the NFL did it on the cheap a little bit. And I don't.
Weren't they saving plenty of money not going to Hawaii?
The point, they're making enough money that they could buy Hawaii or buy Glendale and keep everyone out or let everyone in.
The thing is here, and I'm going to sound like a snob, whatever, and people say we're millionaires, we blah, 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 you're in a Pro Bowl, you should just do whatever. But if you think about the people that are at the Pro Bowl, J.J. Watt makes every single dollar for that Houston Texans team.
Yes.
I mean, he's the guy that's making that owner a lot of money.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then you look at like Andrew Luck, let alone what he's doing for the Colts, but the NFL in general.
Right.
And then you start going on Drew Brees in the New Orleans Saints. I mean, these are the guys that are really... Mm-hmm. For these businessmen who run a fantastic league, who are very profitable, the guys that are at the Pro Bowl are the guys that are really doing a large, not me excluded. I'm literally just talking as these guys that are here.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it should have been a little bit more of
a celebration. Thanks for a job well done. Yeah.
Like, I think so. I don't know how it usually is. I think it was such an incredible honor, but I think next year they're going back to Hawaii after this year, but. We'll see what happens. I think it's just very interesting. It was very interesting to me, the way it was run. That's all I kept saying was, this is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Not what I thought.
It just seems like there should be, it does get down to respect your time or Andrew Luck's time or Jade.
We haven't had an offseason yet. So for the Colts, this was like our first week of offseason.
Some stray conventioner running up to you. Yeah. Not even a part of it, wanting your autograph, and then you being tired and not being able
not
to
me.
Sign
they didn't want anything from me.
Or whoever, and then them having a negative impression of whoever they met.
Well, you're talking from experience.
Right.
Yeah.
That
so.
Happens. That's because the ones that you don't sign for are always louder.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Sure.
Yeah.
I get it on a teeny tiny itty bitty scale.
I'll take a training camp. I'll stay out there for an extra hour after practice and literally try to sign for everybody until... Right. Until we almost have meetings, and I left one time because I had to go to the bathroom.
Stuck up.
Yeah. Like, I probably didn't sign for 7 people out of the, like, probably 400 people that are at practice.
Right.
And those people took to Twitter loud.
Yeah.
Loud on Twitter. Mm-hmm. And I just blocked them, like, hey, I don't really care.
No.
You can't. I mean, you start to go insane if you start to...
Have you ever had like that starstruck moment? I know that if I saw somebody that I was absolutely in love with, just, you know, music, whatever, I wouldn't be able to approach them. I would.
I don't get starstruck. I don't think.
But even if, I mean, I just would never want someone's, I wouldn't want someone's autograph like that. Like if I could just say, hi, I enjoy your work.
I think a picture is much better than
Yeah, autograph. That's true.
Autograph people are trying to, I feel like everybody's trying to hustle on an autograph.
Yeah, that's true.
Like if people don't want a picture, it kind of alarms me a little bit more than.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's justified. I mean, you know, that people are selling autographs.
Like you can't make any money off my autograph. You might as well go ahead and go to.
Well, that's not true.
You might as well go sell McChickens if you want.
I love McChicken. Why aren't they? Why don't they have a place?
Oh, here's another thing. Okay. So they make us go to this Pro Bowl draft at the Pro Bowl draft.
With Team Irvin and Team Carter, right?
Yeah, so it's like 3 hours long.
So it's not AFC, NFC anymore. It's...
No.
Oh.
So it's a mandatory event that we're told we have to go to. And I didn't get drafted. I got drafted the day before. So I'm not going to get drafted. I'm just there to, I don't know, clap for guys that get drafted. I don't know what I'm there
but
for.
But it's mandatory.
Mandatory, 3 hours.
Okay.
So no alcohol is allowed to be there. Right? It's off season. First week of my off season. No worries about it. Don't worry about it.
Good snacks?
I'm happy you brought that up.
Okay.
So,
good job.
Obviously, it was sponsored by McDonald's.
Sure.
So there were people walking around with platters of chicken nuggets and Big Macs to serve to us for 3 hours. That was the food. So they had like on a platter, they had like 6 boxes of Big Macs or like 6 boxes of McNuggets.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I love it, right? Because I eat McNuggets and Big Macs. But like J.J. Watt, that guy obviously
weighs his food and
he weighs it all out, you know. And I'm like, this is what we're doing right now. Like he's on a
finely tuned vitamin regimen or whatever. And
punter, he's not on that punter diet. But it was just so interesting. Like everything was just so interesting. Like that's how I would describe the Pro Bowl. Is I was like, this is just so interesting to me.
Just you to take it all in.
Like this is not what I thought it was going to be like at all.
Did you meet any? I guess celebrities other than like Frank Calhoun.
Are there celebrities there?
Like
no, I don't think there was any celebrities there.
No.
I mean, other than all the players.
Yeah.
Right.
And Chris Carter.
You mean like entertainment celebrities?
Yeah, like I don't guess Beyonce and Jay-Z go to the Pro Bowl, I guess.
Nino and Vince were performing at halftime at the Pro Bowl. Nino and Vince.
Really?
Nino and Vince, yeah.
That's interesting.
That's what I said. Everything was just so interesting.
That's interesting. What?
Nino and Vince. I don't know who they are still, and I listen to one of their songs, but
no way.
I guess they're on the rise. They're blowing up.
Well, there you go. See?
More viewers than Game 6 World Series.
Yep.
They're making a crap ton of
money.
Watch the NFL Pro Bowl.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What
do you think?
That's why it's all so interesting.
That's very interesting.
Because they're making so much money. The
you
whole
nailed
game
it.
Is
interesting.
Just so interesting.
What else do you say? Because otherwise, if you don't keep telling yourself it's interesting, I'd be fucking pissed.
Well, there's no need to be pissed because you're like, it's such an incredible honor and you're getting a
I know that part. I can say I'd be pissed.
But it was just like, it was just all not what I expected.
Right.
Like whenever you pick up a glass that's Sprite and not water and you just go ahead and drink it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you go,
oh.
Oh, hey. Whoa,
that's surprising.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the Pro Bowl was.
I did that with vodka, my mom, one time in the kitchen. Mm.
How'd it work out?
I like vodka still, so I guess it was okay.
That was the moment.
There you go.
What did you think? I guess I sort of know what Adam Vinatieri thought.
He hated him.
But, yeah, the goalpost, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the thing Vinatieri didn't like was the first time he saw him was in warm-ups. So, like, they didn't have those at practice or anything. So, it was like as soon as you got there, it was just, there they are.
Well, the story we read, or I read, And I'm the first one to admit I'll misunderstand everything, a couple things all the time.
Yeah, I go with
that. It sounded to me like they were going to have them mechanized and they were going to squeeze them down just for the extra point. And then we were thinking, well, how would that work? Because those goalposts are heavy.
Yeah, they
starters.
Have, like, you know, the ones we could move the basketball goals when we were kids and you'd stick that thing in there.
The Gorilla. The Gorilla.
That's what I thought they were going to do.
Up and down, up and down.
I thought, yeah.
But turns out they were 14 feet for all field goals, extra points, everything.
Yeah.
They just set them there.
14 feet wide?
14 feet. They're normally 18 feet, so they went to 14 feet.
It was just a visual. I think the visual was weird. The thing.
Yeah.
It looked a lot thinner than
man,
what.
Man, I walked out there for warm-ups and Vinatieri was already out there. And I like looked at him.
What did he say? Did he go, hey.
And he's like, look at these things. He was not happy. He was not happy. And I was like, man, those do not look like fun at all. I was like, well, good luck with that, buddy. And he said, this is your future. You have fun with this. That's what he said to me. He said, this is your future.
I have no doubt. I have no doubt. If it's not next season, it'll be the next season that they go to 14-foot goal.
Well, they're looking to get a 70% rate on field goals and extra points.
Because it's somewhere around 90% now.
Yeah,
right?
So they're looking to get a 70% rate.
What?
They want excitement. Excitement and.
They should eliminate screenplays then, too.
Yeah.
Well, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
I went right out of my head.
That's okay.
Where did they kick extra points from?
17.
The 17.
So, 5-yard line.
Will all extra points, like if you wanted to fake, Tom Griswold brought this up.
No, we went for two. It was at the two.
So if you went for two, they put you at the two. But what if you want to kick a field, an extra point, and you want to fake it and run it from the 17? Is that still an option?
You're not going to fake it.
You're not going to fake it from the 17.
Yeah, you can't.
So that takes that play out of the game.
Well, here's a little logistical issue from our standpoint. It sounds very small, but for some people, it's their livelihood. So they didn't have a line at the 17 where the 17-yard line was.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's just ref spotting the ball in random spots there. So, like, for a long snapper, his job, he is judged on whether he gets 12 o'clock laces or not.
Right.
Right?
And right.
Every little half a yard or 6 inches matters whenever you're trying to figure out, like, getting laces perfect.
Right.
Now, when you say 12 o'clock laces, when you catch the ball, the laces are facing perfectly toward the goalpost.
Yeah, that's the long snapper's job.
That's to get the rotation on the ball. If you don't think the NFL, and these are an unbelievable athlete.
Yeah.
They get the laces faced perfectly toward the goalpost when Pat... You don't ever spin it around.
And you have like a half a second?
So it's 1.2 seconds from snap
for the whole
kick.
Thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's pretty quick. I mean, it's faster than a fastball. So like from when I turn my head, snap, to
bang,
catch
kick.
The kick, it's faster than a fastball.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So it's the operation is just quicker than, because it's 90 feet instead of, you know, it's just a whole different ballgame.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, everybody thinks because of Ace Ventura, Pet Detective, that the laces out is the holder, which it is because I'm the last person that holds it. But in the NFL, it's the job of the snapper to get the laces. So if it's like, if the laces are bad, that's the snapper's ass.
But do you really almost don't have time to, if the laces don't show up at 12 o'clock.
Unless you got really good hands.
Spin them and you.
You got
but
good
you
hands.
Can do that every
unless
now and
you
then.
Got, unless you got these. But that's why I wear one glove. So everybody asks me why I wear one glove.
Oh.
And it's because with my right hand, I'm trying to feel where the laces are. So with the left hand, I'm catching it. So it's a one-handed catch every hold.
Right.
So you catch it one hand with your left hand, then my right hand's trying to find the laces.
And turn it and go.
That's it.
And you told this story on the Bob and Tom show one morning. And I don't know if everyone heard it, but you were not a holder.
Mm-mm.
when they asked him if he was going to hold.
But you said you were.
But you said you were.
You're goddamn right I am.
No, I can do this.
Yeah,
and had never done it before in your life.
Not once. Not once. So like I figured, I could figure it out if I had to. And I thought they were going to put me on the spot there, but they didn't. They just said,
okay.
All right. We believe you.
So
like in your interview, you thought they were going to be like, okay, we're going to listen.
It was during the workout.
Oh,
so
okay.
It was like the way the process went is I wasn't invited to the combine. So my pro day at my school was a big deal. So I walk into my pro day and they go, are you going to run? And I go, uh-uh. They go, are you going to lift? No. Are you going to jump?
No, I don't see any reason to jump.
I'm just going to kick. At the end, and they said, well, these coaches don't have to come out and watch you, right? So the workout's in the indoor facility. I'm going to kick in the outdoor, and it's
February, so it's kind of cold.
In Morgantown.
Yeah, so they were like, these coaches don't have to come out and watch you, so we think you should run and lift and all this stuff to kind of catch their attention or whatever.
Right.
And I said, no, I'm going to save my energy for kicking, you know, because that's what the only thing that matters.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I start warming up while other guys are running the 40, and I just start launching balls into the roof. Like, we're talking like, boom, boom, you know, like these guys are going to know I'm here.
Right.
So I start launching balls into the roof.
Right.
So they're like, all right, go out to the field. They're about to finish up here. So I get on the field. I start warming up, and it's like just waiting to see if these people are going to walk down the runway, the tunnel, right? And I'm like, oh, boy, this could really backfire, you know, if nobody comes out.
So you're just kicking, waiting for somebody
just
to show up.
Waiting, right? So finally, like 15, 20 minutes later, Mike Tomlin walks down leading the charge with
there's a pretty man.
32 scouts behind him. Yeah, and I was like, whew. You're a good-looking guy. That's exactly what I said.
I think everybody does.
You're a good-looking guy.
Everybody does, Pat.
You're a good-looking guy. So I go through my workout. And only two teams had me punt. Hmm. Everybody else saw me as a kicker. So I kicked. Mike Tomlin led the kicking workout. Mm-hmm. He's like, put the ball here. Let's see if you can make it here. Bang, 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 bang. Put it. So he led the kicking workout. And I'm forever indebted to him for actually coming out for that. So afterwards, the Colts and the Cowboys, like, we want to see you punt. So I punted. And I was like, awesome. And then they set up a workout. Both of those teams set up a workout. Like a couple weeks later.
At their facilities.
At my facility.
Oh, at your
facility. They came to West Virginia, yeah. Oh. So the special teams coach comes, and he has Bill Polian on the phone. And he goes, can you hold if we have you punt? And I go, yep, absolutely.
Right?
I
said, darn right I can.
Yes, I can. I used to work on it all the time, you know, blah, blah, blah. He said, okay, sounds good. And he put me through a punting workout. And that's about all she wrote. And
then, you know, I'm not just telling you this.
Because who would lie about holding?
Yeah, that's why. In my head, I was like, they're not going to call my bluff right now. There's no way. They got other stuff they got to
worry about. Well, look, Phil, if he's lying, it's easily caught. I mean, you're going to snap it back to him, he's going to hit him right in the face.
Easily caught. Good one. You don't even know it.
There are two people. I historically don't watch pregame shows in the NFL because I really like the NFL, and I watch the games with the sound off, and I know, kind of know what's going on. And anyway, two people I listen to on the pregame shows, the NFL insiders, whatever you want to call them, is Louis Riddick. I think he's played. He really knows what he's doing. He's one of those guys who's really done well making the transition to management. Now and Polian. I think Bill Polian is one of the smartest football guys ever on the face of the earth.
Yeah, he and I have an interesting relationship. A very interesting relationship. Because the year we were 2-14, he was asked, probably like the eighth game, ninth game, we're 0-9 at this point. He was asked why we were losing. And one of the reasons is he said that because I didn't directional punt.
So
that's why we were 0-9. Right? Like that was one of the reasons he gave because he thought he was going to like just be able to like just get away with it, I think.
But you were directional punting though, right?
Yeah, and I was like breaking every Colts record. that year I was literally like having my best year.
Why would he say that?
So I don't know why he said it. I think...
But he's responsible.
You haven't talked to him about it?
He's responsible for you being with the Colts.
And responsible for being a punter. He watched me in warm-ups at my senior bowl game.
Mm-hmm.
I was in warm-ups. And like a lot of my friends were still, they got redshirted, so they had another year. So that bowl game warm-up was like our last time to really just hang out and like on a football field and have fun. Like 4 years of just practicing and workouts and everything. Mm-hmm. Like this was it, you know? And we were tight. So I was just like punting to them. They were trying to catch it. We're just like having a good time. And I was just like, trying to hit targets. They're like calling out things for me to punt and hit.
Mm-hmm.
And he was watching my warm up. So he was like watching. It was like before the warm up, and he was like the only guy there. And he said that guy's going to be our punter. And like nobody else even knew I could punt. And I didn't even know I could punt really. I was doing it just dick around. But he, after he said that, he came up to me the next day and he said, I said something on a radio show last night or whatever. I said, I heard, you know. I believe I heard. You know, Twitter, I hear everything, you know.
Yeah.
And he said, what I meant by that was, if you could punt it out of bounds, I think you could become an elite punter, blah, blah, blah. And I said, oh, okay, sounds good. You know, I understand what you're saying or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then ever since then, we kind of had a rocky relationship. He got fired.
Right.
And ever since, he's been on ESPN. But every time he does one of our games, we chit-chat a lot before the game. He called me a B-plus punter, though, my first time going in free agency, and I held that grudge for a year. I held that grudge for a year.
You know, you do seem And I, Jess hates this when I make a general observation of someone's personality.
It's usually a little insulting, so I can't wait to hear it.
No, you are an easygoing, likable, nice guy. But I know...
Such an asshole.
Being in the NFL, no, you're competitive. You're... Yeah. And like you just said, well, I held that grudge for a year. I mean, there's a fire that burns in...
Yeah, I do the big
I mean?
Chip on the shoulder thing. I'm a big chip on the shoulder guy. I'm a big chip on the shoulder guy. If you burn me once, I'll remember forever.
Really?
Then you and Chick have that in common.
I'll remember forever.
Like, that's...
There's two things I do well. Whatever it is I do on the Bob and Tom show.
For the first 2.5 hours.
For the first 2.5 hours.
I'm joking. No, you are good. You're talented.
Hang on a second.
Uh-huh.
Thank you, Pat.
No problem.
And hold grudges. Oh, gosh. There's people I'm still mad at that they have no idea. Well, that I'm even alive, let alone...
He's so good at it that people that he likes think that he doesn't like them. Like yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yep. That's how good he is.
Think I...
I'm telling you, I got to the point where I was just like, oh, fuck him.
Yeah.
Like, you were that guy.
We were at your house. We played ping pong.
I know.
We
that's
had a
these
great
are all
time.
The things that I was like, I, all I, these.
You introduced me to Dwayne Allen and Costanzo and
all these extended.
Overton.
I was like, I'm trying to become friends with this guy. And every time I come on the show, he doesn't even talk to me. So I was like, you know what? The hell? You were actually on that list that I was talking about a couple seconds ago.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Sounds right.
Really? Ask all my friends. I don't like you.
Mm-hmm. What are you talking about?
Except for today. I like you. Yesterday, whenever you extended the invite to this show, I was really excited about it.
What about the other guy who does mornings here in town? What about that guy?
Oh, I hate him. I don't like him because he's like, all right, so, okay.
How
are we not,
I don't have
how
a much, big circle of friends.
Are so we not talking about this out loud?
No, we can. I don't care.
Well, I was listening the morning that he was on you.
Yeah,
and I was
and
like,
then,
mother.
Like, here's the story with him. So,
what are you doing?
Okay, my
wow,
kids.
Thank
something
you,
just
thank
happened.
Thank you, Pat. Something drink your drink. There. What the fuck, lady? Wait a minute. Look, lady.
Okay, so there's some things that my kids don't need to hear Uncle Chicky here on the way to school, all right? So we kind of bounce around for music.
No rim
in the
shots
morning.
For the kids.
Yeah sorry.
So. I have a small group of friends.
I am not aware of this story about what he did, but
I'll tell you the whole group. I'll tell you the whole setup.
Oh, okay.
And now that he plays victim too, is just so interesting. So I have a very small group of friends, very very tight circle.
I was in that group, and now I'm out.
Nah,
I was never.
I don't
in
think
that
you
group.
Ever, yeah, penetrated okay. the small group. Okay. But you're in the group of people I liked.
Okay.
But like, when it comes to friends, like Bob Kavoyan's in the group of friends. Like mm-hmm. I really, really, me and Bob are really tight.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I live right next to him on
right.
the show.
Sure.
This show is. So incredibly impressive what it does out of Indianapolis, 30 plus years of just success and dominance and the amount of money that's been made from the Bob and Tom. I mean, it's just the lack of respect mm-hmm. is what so he went in on Bob Kavoyan mm-hmm. and I was like, who the hell is this guy? Mm-hmm. Right? Like, I don't even know who you are. I don't know what your deal is, but Bob's one of my friends. You don't mock one of my friends. Like, that's not the way I roll, you know,
mm-hmm.
especially if you're a nobody. So they did that, and I sent out a tweet that said, since the beginning of time, peasants have always been envious of the king, right?
Mm-hmm.
Basically referring to him mocking my friend. So like the next day or something, he invited people to call in and tell bad stories about me.
Oh, my God.
Right? So like—
Did not hear that part.
Yeah. So he had—
What?
And I know this because my friend recorded it and sent it to me. So he like had somebody call in and tell a story about how I blocked him on Twitter and how I did all these things and said something. And
no, you didn't block someone on Twitter.
Well,
and that's
then I said,
horrible.
Yeah, I know. And then I said these things and then something about at a bar. And like this guy was like inviting people to tell bad stories about me, right?
Wow.
So at that moment in my head, I was like, I don't know who this guy is.
This is a local radio affiliate. This is someone out of Indianapolis.
Yeah. Right. So like,
that's
trying
insane.
To make me look bad.
Right. Yeah.
He was blatantly trying to make
me
look
always,
bad.
Well, I don't know. Been
well. The thing that
I don't like to say anything bad about anybody, really.
Is
I
that
mean,
right?
Publicly.
You don't have to. Let me take it off.
No. But I was at an event, an anti-violence event, down on the circle.
Mm-hmm. Anti-violence.
I was more than happy to be there, and I had a, you know, I was absolutely thrilled to be asked, and more than happy to be present. But as soon as I got there, I walked into the Emmis building. And naturally, I felt this unearthly cold surround me. No, I'm kidding. this gentleman was there, and he was, you know, mm-hmm. right away you could see mm-hmm. who's on the radio
uh-huh.
and who's not. So and that kind of, I said, what the heck is going on?
So then
here?
He continued to mock my friends and me.
Right.
And then I see him.
I know what you mean.
And I see him at an event, and I don't like it. Right? Like I wanted to bury him, but I was told not to.
Right.
I was told not to bury him.
That's what we try to do.
And I wanted to just bury him. I wanted to buy a billboard next to his studio. Like I really wanted to do. Like I wanted to just bury this guy. So I didn't though. I took the high road. So then we get to this event. It was like a celebrity cook with the chefs or something like that. And I was supposed to host it. I didn't know I was actually supposed to cook. So I'm hosting it, emceeing it or whatever. And it was for the Children's Bureau or something like that. And I was ready to leave after hosting. And they're like, is there any way you can cook? A table paid $25,000 for you to cook for them.
Oh,
I was like,
gosh.
Oh, I could do that. Or it was like some $20,000 or some astronomical number.
A lot of money,
I said, yeah, absolutely. Geez, yeah,
heck
I could do
that,
you know? So they put me in a chef thing, and the way these tables are set up is back to back. So the chefs are back to back.
Oh, sure.
So guess who was at the table directly behind me?
This guy.
Oh.
So he's sitting there, and I like just don't even look at him, right? Because I'm still holding the grudge from when he disrespected my friends, when he disrespected me, all these things. Like, I just don't like this guy at all. And he's like talking and screaming in my ear, and I'm just like, just shut up. Like, I actually told him, just shut up. You know? Like, so he sends out a tweet that says, at Pat McAfee Show and I were competing for attention tonight. He won. Right? Like, trying to win me over almost.
I like your body language.
Yeah, and I don't play that game. Like, I'm not a child. I'm not in high school. I don't play that game. I don't like you. Did you try to ruin my image, everything. Just
we're done.
Don't talk to me. So I said, because he said we were in competition. I said, the windshield never knows he's in competition with the bug.
Yeah.
Right, which is a metaphor for like, I had no idea there was a competition going on.
No.
Right, I know my table paid an astronomical amount of money for me to be there. I don't know why you were there.
Right.
Whatever.
Right.
Let's just keep it moving, right? Mm-hmm. So he ran with this team bug, team windshield thing.
Oh, sweet. Jesus Christ.
Right?
Are you serious?
Does he not have anything to talk about over? I don't understand why.
He's the worst. Mm-hmm. He's the worst. I just don't like him. Mm-hmm. Like I wouldn't mind fighting him. Like that, we're at that point.
Okay, you said it too. You said I will box him any day, anywhere.
Don't disrespect me and my friends and then just act like it's okay and then play victim.
How long ago was that?
Like I just don't like that.
5 or 6 years ago, I milked a cow against then the First Lady of Indiana, Sherry Daniels, Mitch Daniels' wife. And turns out she's a ringer.
She's world class.
She's an unbelievable cow
she
milker.
She grew up on a farm.
I'm not kidding.
She's really good.
They go, go. And I'm like, and you hear.
What do you mean a ringer cow milk?
Cow milk. She's an unbelievably great cow
she's
milker.
She's really good at it. Yeah.
So, but he was there. And I don't know what he said or something. But I started being goofy and go, I will fight you anywhere. But the longer it went on, the more I was kind of serious. I would like to fight.
I just don't understand. Like everybody has their own lane.
Yeah. Right?
Like there's no he shouldn't be bashing Bob and Tom. He shouldn't be bashing me. He should just work on making his show great, so he can maybe one day.
I've always said, you know, the only thing you can do is make yourself the best person you can, the best. Criticize others. You know,
like the big thing in our locker room is it's never about who we play. It's all about how we play.
How we play.
Right.
So
right.
Always focus on you. Like if you become, if I become the best punter I could be, I'm going to help out our team more than anything.
Right.
If Andrew throws perfect passes every time, we're going to win. You know, it's just like those things. And it's really, if you take that to life, it's like a big deal. If you just worry about you, you'll get everything. And that's why I don't like whenever people bash my friends or me. I just don't like it. And I'm not in high school. I don't need to be friends with everybody. I don't really care. I don't like it.
Well, it's that confrontational broadcasting that I guess
I don't understand it too. You came to this market. You came to Indianapolis. You know, Bob and Tom run this house. They run this place, not only in Indianapolis, especially in Indianapolis, but we're talking nationwide. Okay. Why would you not just do your little show
and he's been here for a long time. He's made a nice living. He's been okay. You know?
Just do your thing. You got your own demographic.
Exactly.
Just do your thing.
We're not taking food out of his mouth. Yeah.
And then he did a Make-A-Wish telethon, which I guess was happening before he got here. Which I learned after doing some research. And Matt Overton goes on there.
Okay.
Who was my long snapper this past year. He's a free agent. I don't know what's going to happen with him. But so he goes on there, and Overton's like, will you please call into the telethon? You know, it's for the kids. Like, I'll be on there. And I was like, Overton, I don't like this dude, you know. Mm-mm. I'm not calling in, no way. And he's like, will you please just call in, you know, for me, whatever.
Damn it, Overton.
So I said, all right, I'll call in. So I called him. First thing they do right off of Jump Street, pronounce my name wrong. Right?
So are you serious?
Disrespectful. Like literally within a minute of me calling, just calls me. We have Pat McAfee of the Colts.
Oh, yeah. My God.
You know, like I'm just like, man, okay, not a big deal. Maybe you didn't know my name. It's completely okay. Whatever.
Let's move past it. Yeah.
Maybe we'll just move past it. So then he asked me a question. I go to answer it. He cuts me off. Right? Just starts talking over top of me. And I go, okay. So then he asked me another question. He cuts me off again. And then I go, well, how if I was to donate, right? How would I donate? Because he hadn't said it within the past 10 minutes, which I thought what a telethon was, is you remind people how they can donate.
Right.
So I said, how could I donate? And he goes, all right, we're out of time, and just hangs up on me. So I go, thanks, sir. I sent text to Overton. Thanks. Thanks for everything that you just did there. And it was just, I just don't like the guy. I really don't like him. And then the indie star invited him on my show. Last year.
What?
Yeah. What? Without telling me. I showed up and he was there.
He showed up.
No, they invited him.
I know, but why would he show up knowing?
Well,
because I think he's oblivious. He plays the victim card. Like, that's
Can I guess who did that for you in your show last
Ronnie
year?
Ronnie Ramos.
That crazy producer that I kind of had a fracas with.
You know what? He was a good guy. Ronnie Ramos is a good guy. But he invited him, and I looked at him. I said, never again. Don't ever do that again. Please don't ever do that. I will not come back. I will give you your whole check back. I will not do that show if you ever invite that guy back here again.
Did you have to have him on the show, though?
Yeah, he played at the end of the game. He played that, whatchamacallit, with that game.
Oh, the game we played, yeah. That's right.
You were my partner, weren't you?
Yeah.
Against him.
Yes. This is
was
when
was that him?
It was either, yeah, I think it was you.
I think it was. You're exactly right.
Oh, I think God. It was you. It was somebody from this show.
Yeah.
It was me. We killed. We won.
Won.
Won. We won big. Okay.
Usually in that game, I would like take it easy. You know, mm-hmm. like
no. Catchphrase. Now I remember. You came over and said,
"Catchphrase."
Let's get this guy.
Yeah.
I remember now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just don't like him. And then.
You're exactly right.
But that's about it. I really like Indianapolis, though, other than that.
Yeah.
I was going to offer free commercials to all the people that advertise on their radio show.
Are you serious?
Yeah, like the last time you went at me, I was going to figure out how I could really end this guy.
Yeah.
And I was going to offer free commercials. But I didn't because I think he has a family. He just had a baby boy. I hope they do well.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things where.
Yeah, you don't wish him ill. You just don't like him.
Yeah.
You would think that the people who. You know what? It reminds me of when Howard Stern came into Indianapolis. And the one thing I've always said about Howard Stern, I've never said anything bad about Howard. His show is not my cup of tea. This might seem silly coming from me, but if you listen closely to the show and know what I do, I'm naughty, but I'm not.
You got to stop saying naughty.
Well, you know what I mean.
Yeah, that's but it just sounds like creepy. You're 57.
Naughty.
Don't say naughty.
Naughty. Ugh, you know, no. But I don't really get as graphic as Howard does. You know, and I think we're two different shows.
100%
to do. But the one thing I've always said is that Howard.
You give him credit for.
I give him credit for. He introduced the idea of radio syndication.
Mm-hmm.
And it had been an idea in television for a long time that you have a nationwide program. It's not just on in Indianapolis, it'll be all across the country. And if it's popular in Indianapolis, it might be popular in other cities across the country. Howard brought that in. And I've always credited him for that. And he made us. We were successful, and we wanted to be, you know, as successful as we could be. So I'm
That's
sure
awesome.
That helped across the country.
I didn't know he did that.
Yeah.
I figured that was something that was going on a long time.
He was pretty much the first guy
to do
it.
It just seems like the logical move nowadays.
But when he came to town, he was like, Bob and Tom, who's this? What kind of a name is Chick for a guy? Who's Christy?
Well, you have to do something
right.
when you come
and
to
and he was trying
city.
To get attention, and...
And it didn't last.
And it didn't... You know, I say that to say this, we just ignored him, and we didn't really say anything.
Well, that's what I've been told
publicly,
about.
Publicly, and we just ignored
the
him.
The guy we were just talking about, they're like, don't say anything on our show about it.
Right.
I was like, you got it, I won't say it. I'm not trying to bring any drama here, but on my Twitter account, which is largely Indiana, mostly all of Indianapolis, can really shape some thoughts, I think. But I didn't. I haven't gone in too hard.
So are you... Now that we're in the off season, pending the Super Bowl, do you stay off your feet? Do you work out every day?
I've been relaxing a lot. the past couple of days. So
you've never been overweight as far as I could see, but you appear now to be leaner and more muscled.
It's because my knees started to hurt really bad, so I needed to lose some weight.
Your kicking knee?
No, my plant knee mostly. Okay. Because it couldn't handle the weight.
And what would happen if you didn't have a plant knee?
Well, the plant leg is really not worth a damn. And I wish I just didn't have any feelings. Like, I just want to talk to it. Like, hey, you're not worth crap to this operation.
But if you didn't have the plant knee, you'd fall over every
But
time
if it didn't have any feeling, it would be much better.
Oh, there you go. You know? I understand what you're saying.
Yeah. Like, if this thing just was a peg, it'd be better.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It'd be better. But, I think I'm getting older. I'm not too old. I'm 27. But I'm getting older. And my body's starting to respond to things differently. So the wear and tear on my knees from soccer is kind of catching up to me now, I think, because kicking is a lot of like full speed and then abrupt stopping.
Well, I've always heard in soccer, you try not to run, you let the ball do the running. Is that right? But
I think so.
You run a lot, though.
No, I did a lot of chilling when I played soccer. I used to find a lot of holes. I was not a runner. I was not a good runner.
But you went to Europe and everything when you played soccer?
Yeah.
You were very... Successful
I played over
at soccer. Right?
Yeah, I had more soccer like scholarship opportunities than I did football opportunities. Mm-hmm. I just had to figure out what I wanted to become professional at. And I wanted to become a professional football player so I could be rich in America because I love America. I didn't want to be rich in Europe. Mm. That's the only way you can get rich is in soccer.
You didn't
want to
be rich in Italy and be an Italian.
I think it would have been awesome, but I would rather be rich in America.
So when's the first time you went, oh, hey, shit, I can punt?
The first time I kicked a football was we had a soccer practice going on at our high school football field, and we're playing soccer, and there was a kicking camp going on.
So is this sophomore year, junior?
No, this is probably sophomore year. Sophomore year, yeah. I was like, what are these nerds doing kicking a soccer ball, you know? I used to be a big fan of football, and I never watched the kickers or punters. I always watched like Deion Sanders, Randy Moss, guys like that.
Marshawn Lynch.
I love swag, you know? I just like swag. I like guys that are so confident and just have a lot of fun out there.
Right.
So I never watched kickers or punters, and there was a kicking camp going on in the high school soccer field. And I said, what are these nerds doing? And I said, give me that stupid ball. So I put the ball down. It was like a 60-yard field goal. And like first time I kicked the ball, I went through for 60 yards.
First kick.
First kick. And the guy was like... You should probably think about this. I was like, yeah, I probably should. And then I did the punt, pass, and kick thing like a month after that.
Were you like Andy Reid in the punt, pass, and kick? You were like this giant
kid? No, I was
a
shorter. I was like, at the local one, I was bigger. But at the national one, I was the small guy of the three. But I just dominated the punt, pass, and kick thing. And my body was built for punt, pass, and kick.
Right.
So that next year, I started kicking footballs. And I played soccer as well. But I wouldn't. A 1-10 practice for football. I just show up on Fridays before the game, like 20 minutes before the game. I just show up, kick, didn't miss, junior or senior year. and then I went to a kicking camp after my senior year of high school.
Who's kicking camp?
It was 1-on-1 kicking down in Florida. This is a great story too. So like the reason why I'm in the NFL is the most lucky situation in the history of the world.
Most things are, yeah.
So I had a scholarship offer to Kent State to kick, and I had... like 20-some scholarship ops for soccer, right? So, but I knew, like, kicking, like, nobody really saw me because our high school football team wasn't good. So nobody really saw me kick. But, like, whenever I go on a field, I was just like...
You start to look around
I'm like, I'm
notice.
Better than these guys. You know, like, I went to a camp with Jeff Reed in high school, and I, like, out-kicked him. And I'm like, this guy's in the NFL.
He's in the NFL.
This is what I should be doing. This is probably a great way...
I just out-kicked this guy.
This is a great way to make money for my family here,
right.
You know? So... So I was like, man, soccer's awesome. It looks really good right now, but I feel like this is the ticket here. You know,
right.
I started doing some research on kicking and stuff. So I was like, I want to kick bad, but nobody had a clue who I was. So we sent out all these tapes of me kicking like 65-yard field goals and like 60-yard field goals and all these things on the practice field. And I don't think any of the coaches even looked at them, right? Like there's no way a coach looked at that and was like, oh, we shouldn't offer this guy a scholarship.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I sent in all these recruiting tapes, all these colleges my dad did, sent them all in, drove them to some places, and nobody even looked at them. So I was sitting in physics class my senior year. It was like December or January. And I get a phone call on my phone. And I tell my physics teacher, I'm like, yo, Mr. Jasper, I got to answer this. He's like, all right, you got it. So I answer my phone. And he's like, is this Pat McAfee? I go, yeah. He goes, this is Mike McCabe from 1-on-1 Kicking. I'm having a kicking competition in 2 weeks, and I want guys to come in and compete against my kickers down here in South Florida and Miami. There's going to be like 50 college coaches here. want to know if you were interested. And I was like, yep, you know, I'm interested. I'm ready to do this. He said, okay, I'll send you the information. So he sends us the information. It's like $1,500 to go. My parents are like, no way, we can't make it. You know,
can't make
do it. So I was like, sounds good. So I got $100 from one of my brother's friends, and I went to this like shiesty poker game because World Series of Poker was huge at that point. That was back when Chris Moneymaker won. And
wait a minute. This really happened?
This is 100% true story.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So I go to this game,
Pat,
in Pittsburgh.
This is a movie.
Yeah, it will be one day, I think.
Yeah.
Probably. Especially with all the stuff I get into after my rookie year. The movie should be pretty epic.
Yeah.
But so I go to this game and I hit
a lot.
I win I turned $100 into $1,400. I won enough money to go to the camp at like 1 a.m. but they wouldn't let me leave because it was a cash game. So if you leave with a lot of money, that money's never coming back. So they wouldn't let me leave. So I was there until like 4 a.m. And it was a school night. It was like a Thursday night.
Oh.
So I come back the next morning. I told my parents I was sleeping at a friend's house. And I like have the money, you know. And I'm like, hey, I want to go to this camp.
All right.
And they're like, all right, let's go. So I go to the camp. My dad's like, it's a waste of money. You know, it's stupid to go down there. I go down there on Friday. I fly down on Friday to Miami. And they have like a kicking session. They don't let me kick. Oh, they only let all the Florida kids kick. So I'm like sitting there like these mother, you know,
it's
Saturday morning. They don't let me kick again. So I'm calling my dad. I'm like, Dad,
oh.
He's like, I told you it's a waste of money and blah, 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 you know. And then finally Saturday afternoon, they let me kick and I put on a show. Bang, 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 bang. And I punt a couple balls. Bang, bang, bang. And Sunday morning, somehow I made it into the finals. I don't even know what that means. And I had a flight. I had a flight at 1 o'clock and his finals started at 10 o'clock.
Right.
Oh.
So I go first. They let me go first because of my flight. And the way it worked is you hit one field goal from 20 yards and 25, then 30, 35, 40, sure. 45, 50, 55, alternating hashes.
Mm-hmm.
And then after you hit from 50, you go to the middle for 55. And if you hit that, you go to 60. You hit that, you go to 65. You just go back in increments of five.
All right.
So I go bang, 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 bang. Hit everything, right?
Right.
Go to 50, hit it. 55, hit it. 60, hit it. 65, hit it. Right? 70, wide right.
Uh-huh.
Wide right.
Yeah.
But I had to get to a flight, so I just said, we'll see you guys later. And I freaking just walked off the field, right? I was so pissed off at these people that ran the camp because they didn't have a kick except for one day.
Right.
So I walk off the field, and I guess at that point, all the coaches were sprinting down to the field
to get
to talk to me.
Right.
Yeah.
And I was already gone. See you later. I'm out of here. So I hop on my flight. I had a layover. I didn't get back home until like 8 or 9 or something like that. And my dad was like, how'd you do? I said, I think I did all right. You know, I think I banged a lot of field. I mean, I kicked the ball far, Dad. I don't know what happened. So next morning, since I got home late, and I never missed school, literally ever. Like the big thing I did was I was always at school. The next morning I slept in and I get a call at like 9 a.m. or 10 a.m. And it was a 304 number. And I was like, hello.
304, West Virginia.
Yeah. I was like, hello. And he's like, Pat? And I go, yeah. He goes, this is Tony Gibson. Why aren't you at school? And I was like,
I just could not make it.
I said, I'm on my way. He was like, I was planning on leaving you a voicemail or whatever. He said, I'm coming up to offer you a scholarship or whatever. I said, I'm on my way right now, you know? So I ran into school. I sat down in the lunchroom because I got there like 10:30 or 11, which is the first lunch. I sit down and in walks Tony Gibson.
Whoa.
And with my principal who did not like me. So that had to be a real pain in her ass. And they go,
people who don't like you to see you succeed.
No, yeah. So, and then I got a scholarship offer and I kicked field goals there my freshman year. And my sophomore year, there was a punter and his name was Scott and he did bad. And about week 9, I started punting and I had no idea how to punt. We did the roll punt, the run. You like catch the ball, go on the run.
Yeah, kind of like a rugby or whatever the heck it is. Yeah.
Yeah. So we lost the game to Louisville on Thursday night because Scott punted the ball to the wrong side of the field and they scored a touchdown to win it. Mm-hmm. So the next day he calls me into his office and goes, Rich Rod goes, hey, Pat, you're punting next week.
This is Rich Rodriguez, who went on to coach Michigan.
And now Arizona.
He's coaching Arizona. And that program's doing very well.
Yeah. So he's a little bit of a lunatic, but he wins games, you know. Right. So he's a very hard edge coach. He says, hey, you're punting next week. And I said, I don't know how to
play. Wait a minute. I didn't do your Rich Rod impression justice. Please have him ask you again in your
hey, Pat, you're punting next week. And I said,
that's uncanny.
I said, I don't know how to punt, man. He said, just catch the ball, go on a run, get it on the ground, let it roll. We got to be better than what we got. And I said, you got it, man. So I started doing it. My first punt, I ran to the right. I punted it and just fell right on my ass because I was running.
Slipping.
I was running as fast as I could. I just wanted to get out of it. I fell right on my ass. I jogged the sideline. He goes, well, that was embarrassing. Can only get better from here. And I said, thanks, man. And then I started punting, and I didn't really figure out how to regular punt until I got here, where it was like just two steps and punt until I got to Indianapolis.
Huh.
I've never seen, well, I've not never seen, but I've very rarely seen a punter change position like you do before the snap.
Yeah, I keep it moving.
Do you do that? Is that obviously it's a conscious thing, but for the, so is that like, that's part of the strategy though?
Yeah,
right?
So they double are your gunner that you're usually punting to. So if you're a directional punter, usually you line up, you punt the ball to the left, or you line up, punt the ball to the right, and they double to the gunner to the side you're on. So if you fake which side you're going to, they double the wrong gunner.
I wonder why I've never seen other punters. I don't think any other punter does that. Or if they do, I haven't noticed it.
I don't know. I don't know.
Because you just take that quick left or right, and Overton hopefully knows where you're going to be.
He's just snapping it straight back.
He's just going straight back, so you, okay.
He's just
no matter where you are.
Yeah. Hey,
did you guys have that discussion? It's like, dude, no matter what. If you don't see me, just go ahead and snap it anyway.
He blacks out too, so I think he doesn't even know where he's snapping. He just snaps it.
Oh.
But yeah, that's a little gamemanship.
I like it.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, I don't know if you want to talk about that or not, but obviously you were involved in the AFC Championship game with the Patriots and the pressure of the balls. But you told me something earlier, I heard Matt Hasselbeck, one of the NFL, he used to be in the quarterback. And,
still is.
And it's not Matt. I'm sorry, Tim.
Tim.
His brother. He was on ESPN, and he said, any quarterback who's ever played quarterback in the NFL knows if a football is at the proper inflation. And you said pretty much the same.
As soon as I catch it. As soon as you
touch the ball, you know if it's tight or loose or however they refer to it.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. When you touch it?
Now, like, I can tell, like, if it's, like, the first kick of the game, I can tell how the balls are going to be. Mm-hmm. So, if it's a kickoff, the ref throws it to me, like, as soon as you feel it, you're like, oh, good ball. You're like, oh, bad ball. It's one or the other.
How often is it a bad ball? Is that often?
But these are the K-balls.
Yeah, these are K-balls. So, I deal with K-balls. Their balls are all decided in, like, quarterbacks get to work with their balls. It's so impossible to talk.
There's nothing funnier than
it's
talking
so
about
impossible
balls.
To talk about. Yeah. So the quarterbacks get to work with their footballs for like months. To get
all I know
game
when I was a kid, I could punt the hell out of a ball if it was about half flat. Flew. How far?
I want it fully inflated, even over inflated.
Really?
Yeah. I want it over inflated, but
it
beat
seems
up.
Like it would be hard to.
That's what you want.
So
what you're trying
ball.
To do is you're trying to. Bend your foot.
Your foot hits the ball so hard and so fast that it.
I'm trying to flatten the ball with my
flatten
foot.
Flatten it out.
So it like slingshots off my foot.
Right.
So
okay.
If it's flat, you don't get a lot of slingshot. It's like a fastball. Like when you hit a fastball, it's going to go further.
Right.
As opposed to a changeup.
Right. Right.
So like the harder the ball, the further it'll go. That makes
at
sense.
At your level.
Yeah. You got to have a strong leg though. You got to be able to crack. You got to be able to dent the bladder. If you can dent the bladder, you want it harder.
So is that your primary lifting? Do you do leg lifts and stuff like that?
Yeah. I've been working on my upper body a little bit, so I can take my shirt off in public.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
I do a lot of hang cleaning. Hang cleaning, rowing, and box jumping.
Do you want to say how much you leg press?
Leg press is however much
it's reps, right? So
yeah, it's however much the thing can handle.
It's my old joke. How much do you bench press? All of it.
Yeah, I leg press all of it, whatever it can do. Mm-hmm. I think it's like 30 plates or something. Yeah.
Maybe you should work out with Pat in the off season.
Hang clean is what I'm most impressive at.
What is that?
Hang clean is where you take the bar from your knee,
yeah,
and you like you shrug, pull, and then catch it here.
Oh, yeah, it's almost like a throw right here.
Have you seen American Sniper?
That's what Chop does.
I'm going to watch it.
I think Bradley Cooper does that in
Yeah, so
in
it's this, mm-hmm. this is the workout. You go like this, and you go, and you catch it.
And then he drops it back down.
So it's all explosive in the hip. So it's
right. And then he drops it back down. He doesn't press it all the way up over his head traditionally.
So that would kill your shoulders.
Right. Yeah.
Like all those CrossFit people doing all the snatching. That's insane. It's
I deadlift 300. That was what I maxed out at.
Deadlift is impressive. I don't go from the ground, though, ever.
I think it'll fuck up your back if you don't do it.
You deadlifted 300 pounds.
Mm-hmm. That's impressive.
Only three reps. Yep.
I'm going to need some documentation.
I have a video. My brother did it with me.
You have the video.
I do have the video.
That's really impressive. Did you have weightlifting shoes on?
No, I've always the Converse, like just the flat. I
same thing.
Flat. Yep.
Same thing.
Yeah.
So what do you What do you do now during the off season? You work out. You rest, but you are also trying to stay in shape more than you have in the past because you're getting old.
So our first week of the off season was Pro Bowl week, so I didn't even really get an off week. So my first day off in about 7 months was. Because even the off days, I work more than I do normally on the normal days because I got this show, and then I do my WTHR show, and then there's usually some community event during the day.
Mm-hmm.
And then Saturday we travel and games are on Sunday. So my first off day really was a couple of days ago on Tuesday because I traveled on Monday. So my first off day was Tuesday in about 7 months, and I didn't leave my bed. I literally didn't leave my bed. I just laid there. I got like 10 phone calls from random people. I think I hit the FU button 9 times. I just laid there. It was so amazing. So for the past couple of days, I've been chilling, but I get antsy.
So do you get bored?
Oh, I get so bored.
Yeah.
Like I'm going to Mexico next week. I set that up last week.
What day?
I don't know.
We're supposed to go to West Virginia during some week, homecoming week or something, and go to a bar.
We should do that.
Now that you like me again, maybe we could do that.
We should definitely do that. West Virginia is an interesting place.
WVU is like one of the top 5 party schools every time. Yeah, yeah.
It's pretty insane. Some kid just passed. It's kind of sucks though. The party, like it's there's nothing else to do. Some fraternity kid just passed away with a blood alcohol level of 0.49. I mean, that's insane. That's just insane. But yeah, we'll go back there and have a good time, man. We won't do that. We won't be.
What about Pittsburgh?
We won't do that 4-9
thing. We'll go to Permesians.
We won't go to Permanis. We'll go to Rudy's Subs.
Mm-hmm.
Tell the Rudy Sub story again.
It's a good one. So that was my first real job. So I got hurt.
His first real job. Yeah.
So I got hurt. I always played sports year round.
Right.
The ticket for my family was you're either going to get a scholarship or nothing's going to happen. You know.
Right.
And they really risked. They did a lot for me. They remortgaged the house several times and all that stuff. Wasn't a ridiculous debt for me to play sports. So I got hurt one spring though. I couldn't play soccer.
Ooh.
Hurt my knee. And my dad said, I need to learn the value of a dollar. So I got a job. And it was this sub joint that I've been going to my whole life.
Right.
Figured it'd be an easy transition. I've been going to this place forever.
Rudy's.
You know how it works.
Yeah. Rudy's Subs. I know all the food. I know everything about it.
It's not going to be a job. I love these subs.
Yeah, I know the owner. I know everything. So I work at Rudy's Subs, and I was very similar to the person I am now. Just younger. And the owner's son is a deaf man.
Okay.
And the way Rudy Subs work is it's a small little place. There's like 5 tables. Mostly it's call-in, takeout.
Sure.
There's a front counter, there's a grill, and there's a phone. Small place.
Yeah.
Rudy Subs.
Got it.
From 11 to 1.
At night.
No.
During the day.
During the day. Lunch
hour.
Lunch hour.
Yeah.
They are slammed.
Right.
With people.
Yeah.
Okay. When you're working with a deaf guy.
Uh-huh. And the phone's ringing.
He can't work the front counter and the phone.
Right.
Right? So he's working the grill.
He's
right.
The grill man.
He's the best damn grill guy there is.
Good.
He's good. Greg. Love yeah. Greg.
Greg.
Not Rudy. This is Greg.
This is Greg.
Okay.
Greg taught me one thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this. You take your thumb, you put it in your fist, you pull
and you
it
put
out
your
the
fist
bottom.
Up. Right.
And then that means shit.
Yep.
And this means happens. All right, so my first day on the job.
Oh, it's American Sign for shit happens. Okay.
I knew that was shit, but that's all. Yeah.
So I send... The first day on the job, I send back like 100 receipts, like the same order. I sent it back like 100 times, and it was just shooting onto the grill.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, my God, to Greg. I was like, I'm so sorry. You know? And he's
because
like,
he's deaf. You're trying to talk like this.
So he writes down a message. I can read your lips. You know, my fault. Right? I said my fault. I didn't want to disrespect you. That's that is my fault.
Right.
I've never been around a deaf guy before.
Right. You didn't know.
100% my fault.
Yep.
So he goes, don't worry about it. So the very next order, same exact thing happens, right? I hit enter and then something happens and they start shooting onto the grill. Boom, 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 boom. So I go back and I go, I'm so sorry, you know? And he just goes,
shit
happens.
Right.
He did it. And I was like, stopped the press and said, what's that mean?
What's that mean?
And he wrote it down, shit happens. And like, it became my new favorite thing. Like if you would have seen me in high school at any given time.
Yeah.
For more than 3-minute period, I probably gave you the shit happens.
Shit happens.
Thing. Like it was just the best thing in the world to me.
Yeah.
So fast forward to like a week in to me working there. There it is.
Mm-hmm.
And from 11 to 1, there are about probably 200 orders.
Mm-hmm.
And 90% of them are the Italian sub.
Right. Okay.
There's another Rudy's down the road.
Oh, okay.
Half mile down the road.
Rudy's
a
too.
A half mile?
No, it was like a mile.
Probably. It was very popular.
Probably a mile down the road.
Wow.
I don't know. Probably a mile down the road. It was close.
Close. That seems close.
So everybody's calling in order the Italian.
Right.
We're out. But they're not. Okay. Right down the road.
Yeah. Hey.
So
right.
I was sending people down the road.
To get their subs.
To get their subs. Right? I figured, same owner. You're not losing any money. They're right down there.
You're fine.
But we're in a corporate park, so I guess people didn't want to walk a mile down.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
You know?
Sure.
So they were losing.
A little bit.
But it was a genius idea by me, right? Genius idea.
I think so.
Work smarter, not harder.
Right.
Send some down that way.
Right.
I'm good. I got, you know, Greg's working back here. He can't help me out with the orders. Right. We're good to go.
Yep.
So the owner catches wind after like the third day, calls in, orders an Italian sub.
Yeah.
So I tell her, we're out. She goes, no, we're not. I just packed the fridge.
Oh.
And I said, where? She said, same place it is every day. I said, oh. She said, we have to talk. I said, I got it. I get it. Right? Yeah. I'm just going to finish this shift. You won't
right.
see me ever again.
I'm leaving.
You won't see won't me
make,
ever again.
I won't make any trouble.
You won't see me ever again.
Right.
So I stopped working at Rudy Subs that day. Mm. And my dad said, you better hope sports works out. Because it looks like you really suck at actual work. And I do. I'm happy, very lucky that my right leg kicks football far. So that's about it. That was my story of the real world. That's my only real job.
Nothing. You don't have time in college to have a.
Not allowed. You're not allowed. NCAA, you're not allowed to have a job.
I did not know that.
You're not allowed to work.
Huh.
But you can evidently receive Beats headphones. There's some sort of, if you're in a bowl game, you get $600 worth of gifts.
Worth of gifts, yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
The NCAA is a joke, and this is not this is not a long enough podcast.
Yeah,
to get
I was
into
just going
to
say that's another podcast.
Oh God, yeah,
yeah it
I
is.
Saw There's that so many, on Twitter too.
Me and Dockage.
Yeah.
Well, that's because Dockage has his hand in the cookie jar.
Sure.
Because he's a cook. He was a coach. Cookie. He's
he was a
coach.
A cookie.
He was a coach, and now he's an announcer who works for ESPN. And both coaches and announcers make a crap ton of money off of college athletics because the athletes aren't making any money. So if they were to divvy up another slice of the pie, they would all make less money. So you can't really take advice or information from a guy who has his hand in a cookie jar. And I'm a big fan of Dockage, but his opinion on that is a bit flawed. That was a very professional statement.
That was. That was good. You should write that down and use that later.
It just came to me. But that's my life, Chick, in a nutshell.
Thank you, Pat.
How are you doing? Good? Show's good?
I'm okay, yeah.
Enjoying a show? How's it like without Bob? Interesting?
Well, as I've told people
it
who
never,
ask.
It never sounds the same.
And
it's never. I mean, you have to have the four of them.
Yeah, because whenever they go, welcome back to Bob and Tom, he goes, hello.
Yeah.
That's missing, right?
Yeah.
Every comeback.
Yeah, it's just.
You need that.
It's different, and then you get used to working a certain way, and then it changes again. I mean, it's not. I don't know. I still think we have something that's worth listening to.
It is a good show.
And the three of you do.
But
yes.
We're trying.
You and Tom and Christy nail it. Yes, yeah. You do. When Bob's not here, you do great. But it's always best when all four of them are here.
Yeah, we're doing what we can.
Yeah.
And I don't blame Bob. You know, I mean, I don't.
It's comfortable.
I mean, I would do the same thing had my life been different earlier.
Oh, boy.
Let's do this.
Oh boy, that's how it ended.
Somebody would have helped me out a little earlier.
Oh boy.
Pat McAfee from the Indianapolis.
Hey, well, I love the show. Thank you guys so much for having me.
Thank you, Pat. You'll be back. You're going to do it again? And we're going to be best friends, right? That's what I hear.
I just want to know, like, when I come in and you don't talk.
It's not you, believe me.
I promise, yeah.
That's going to help me sleep tonight.
Thanks, buddy. Thank you, Jess.
See you guys.
Thanks for listening to the Out There Podcast. All black, everything's red. Got my jacket on, smoking, looking like juice, honey on the table. My shit's all I'm saying. Ain't got no dough, all got my body.